I'm not that kind of person, but I'm going to give it a try, so y'all just pray for me.
Flashes of lightning, rolls of thunder. Blessing and honor, strength and glory and power be to you, the only wise King. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Filled with wonder, awestruck wonder at the mention of your name. Jesus, your name is power, breath and living water, such a marvelous mystery. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. With all creation I sing praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you.
Good singing, say amen. Hallelujah. All right, come on, brother. Amen. They've got one for us tonight. I know it'll be a blessing to you. While they're getting ready, As I said, y'all pray for Bo. He's having a rough time, and he's probably watching tonight if he feels like it. He said he couldn't even drive. He's getting dizzy and hurting really, really bad. And so let's continue to remember him in prayer, and others, you know, need our prayer tonight. Amen.
Y'all remember this song? It's a true story. Master of the Sea. This really happened. You hear a lot of stuff in the Bible and you think of it as being stories. This is true stories.
One night upon the sea, a ship was tossing to and fro. Breakers dashed on every hand. Angry winds around it blow. All on board were filled with fright as the mighty billows rolled. Then they called upon the one who the winds and waves control.
When he reaches out his hand, billow cease at his command. There it is.
Winds and waves obey his will.
When he says to them, be still. What man is this? They all did say that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
Though the storms of life may rage and the billows round you roll, he can calm those troubled seas as he did in days of old. As upon that sea you sail, trust in him who never fails. And I'm so glad he sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
When he reaches out his hand, billows cease at his command. Winds and waves obey his will. When says to them, be still. What man is this? They all did say that the winds and seas obey. He's the one who sails with me. He's the master of the sea. And I'm so glad he sails with me. He's the master of the sea.
Hey. Enjoy that, say amen. Glad he sailed with me. He's the master of the sea. Hallelujah. All right. Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Proverbs chapter 24. Proverbs chapter 24. I'm going to give you one of the greatest truths in the whole Bible tonight. Proverbs chapter 24. And we'll look tonight at a verse of Scripture, one of the greatest verses in the Bible as far as I'm concerned, and a lot of truth in it. Proverbs chapter 24. Tonight and verse number 16. Proverbs 24 and verse 16. Everybody look at it. I'll give you this little truth. We'll go. I know we've had a long weekend with last night, Sweetheart Banquet. Really, really good. Thank God for last Sunday. We had a little bus trouble this morning, but I think we got it straightened out. And y'all, we're just moving right along through the month of February. Let's look at it tonight. Proverbs 24, verse 16. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. But the wicked shall fall into mischief. Let's read it again. First part. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. That's how you know he's a just man. The way you know he's a just man is he riseth up again. A just man, you might knock him down seven times, but he will rise up again. If you're made out of the right stuff tonight, the devil or the world will not. You ever heard the old saying, can't keep a good man down? That's where that comes from. You can't keep a good man down. I believe I'll let that be my title tonight. You can't keep a good man down. It doesn't say a wicked man falls seven times because he don't get back up. A wicked man will fall one time, two times, and that's the end of him. You don't hear of him no more. But a just man will rise back up again. You know, we don't look at it that way. Here's the way the world looks at it, and half the church. The world looks at it like, Lord, if he fell seven times, he ain't a just man, he's a hypocrite. But the Bible said you don't judge him by how many times he falls, you judge him by how many times he gets up. The truth is, the Christian life is a series of falling, getting back up, falling, getting back up, falling, getting back up. Sometimes you're knocked down. Sometimes you're tripped. Sometimes you're pushed in the mud puddle, and sometimes you jump in it on purpose. But if you're made out of the right stuff, bless your heart, you're going to pop back up. And all God's people said, amen. Glory to God, hallelujah. You know what the world said? Man, if a man fell, they'll say, oh, that's a lifestyle. Not if he pops up, it ain't. If he's made out of the right stuff, it ain't. Now, the Lord has an equation here. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. If you fell four times and rose up three times, you ain't right. Because you stayed down. If you fell five times and rose up four times, then you ain't right. You're out. You're out of the game. You're out of the Christian life. You're out of the running. You're out of the race. But as long as your risings equal your fallings, then you're in good shape and God can help you. A just man falleth seven times and riseth up again. Somebody wrote this one time about a cork and a whale. Cork, you know, that you fish with. A little brown cork fell in the path of a whale who lashed it down with his angry tail. But in spite of its blows, that cork quickly arose and floated serenely before that thing's nose. Said the cork to the whale, you may flap and sputter and frown, but you can never, never, never keep me down. For I am made of the stuff that is buoyant enough to float instead of drown. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to preach on that subject tonight. You can't keep a good man down. He'll rise. He'll come back up. He's made like a float. The devil will knock you down, but if there's something inside you that's going to get back up. There's something inside a child of God that's going to say, I'm not going to stay down. By God's grace, I'm getting out of this mess. I'm going to rise back up. I'm getting back in the choir. I'm getting back in the book. I'm getting back on my knees. I'm getting back right with my family, with my friends, with God. I'm at church. I'm not. Listen, if you're really saved tonight, you got God in your heart, there's going to be something in you that rises up and says, Lord of God, I ain't staying down. I'm getting back in there. I've known many a person down through the years, literally thousands and thousands of Christians. And I've known some of them, they went through stuff that, honest to the Lord, I don't see how they went through it and stayed alive. And I've been in revivals and looked, and lo, there they sat. And I thought, I never thought they'd have made it after going through what they went through. And lo and behold, there they are. You know what makes a person like that? Being made out of the right stuff. You can't keep a good man down. As we read the stories in the Bible tonight, you read story after story after story. I'm just going to tell you a couple of these tonight a little bit and illustrate this truth. You'll read. You'll pray. You'll get back. Did y'all know Little Michelle, that sits right here. Jeremy's working out of town for a couple of weeks and up in Virginia or somewhere. Little Michelle, that sits right here, has already read her Bible through January 29th. What about that? January 29th. I figured that up. That's 40 chapters a day. And little Michelle, Lord, she must not have nothing else to do. So I think they're watching tonight. But anyway, 40 chapters a day. You know, she made up her mind. I'm going to read that Bible for January 29th. And Jeremy is in Isaiah as of the other night. And I know a lot of people in here. Somebody else told me they're already through the New Testament. Somebody's halfway through the Old Testament. You know what? When the Lord's in your heart and you hear preaching and you're something stirs you up and says, you know what? I can do better. I can do more. You just don't like to stay down. You don't like to wallow in the mud. You don't like to live defeated. You want to get up, brother. You want to get up. Amen. You want to get up and win the victory and fight the battle. I read about people all the time. That girl they made that movie out of, that Soul Surfer girl, I don't know her name, but got her arm bit off by that shark. I don't know what her name is. Y'all seen? How'd you know that? Stephanie Hamilton, that's right. That is her name. Hamilton. Well, anyway, she was surfing and got her arm bit off by a shark. And brother, that girl, if that would have been me, I tell you what I'd have done. I'd have retired right then from surfing. I mean, amen. But you know what, that girl, she had a surfer's heart, I reckon. I mean, she got back on that thing and got on that surfboard and somehow or another learned how to paddle with one arm and I think competed again. And she's going around giving her testimony and sort of like that. You can't help but admire somebody like that. You can't help but admire somebody that overcomes handicaps and still goes on and does something for God anyway. Now let me tell you something tonight. Hey, every one of us are handicapped. Every one of us, amen. You ought to mark every one of them parking places out there blue. Because we all got something that's holding us back. We all got something that the devil uses to stop us. We all got some kind of obstacle that we got to overcome. I thank God tonight, brother, if you're made out of the right stuff, you're not going to stay down. You're going to say, glory to God, I'm going to get back up. I'm going to hit it again. I'm going to do better. I read about the amazing story of that Erickson Tata girl. Way back when I first got saved, that happened. And she was diving and she dove in a swimming pool or something, broke her neck, and paralyzed from here down. And you know what she does? She learned how to paint and she can hold a paintbrush in her mouth, and she can do some beautiful paintings like at Valentine there. And boy, she can paint them things, and she has a radio program and has wrote books or dictated them. And brother, she's a well-known author. She's a well-known speaker. She's got a worldwide ministry. She's touched thousands and thousands of people. And you know how she did it? When the devil knocked her down, she didn't stay down. She just got up and said, hey, I may not be able to go with my arms, I may not be able to go with my legs, but bless the Lord, I'm going to go the best I can. And sometimes they that accomplish great things are somebody that the devil's knocked down, but they got back up and said, I'm not staying down, and went on and accomplished great things for God. I'm telling you tonight, don't you be discouraged, bus worker. Don't you be discouraged, husband or wife, in your marriage situation, or in your home or whatever. You make up your mind. A just man, he might go down 7 times, but there's something inside of him that gets back up and said, we're going to hit it again. Well, the devil will knock you down. I was at the flea market, yesterday to get me. I go by there to get me vitamins. And as these folks over there sell them, 7 for $5. Bottles of vitamins that big, brother. $10, $11 each, and they sell them $7 for $5. They're a little old, but they don't make no difference. They do that to keep you from suing them. But they sure ain't going to hurt you. And I buy a bunch of them, and there's a lady running a little old stand here, and I start telling her, I said, how you doing? And she said, hey, honey, how are you? Call me honey. And I said, ma'am, are you all right today? And she said, no. She said, I'm lonely. She said, I'm divorced. And she said, I'm
She said, I've been celibate for so many years, and I'm miserable, and I'm lonely, and all that. And I said, you need to go to church. That's exactly what I said. I said, you need to go to church. I said, there's a lot of people there that you can meet. You don't have to be lonely. There's friends there at church. And she said, when I go to church, she said, I look around and I see all these perfect families, and I see their perfect children, and their perfect marriage. And she said, I just think I don't want to go there and see that. I said, listen, lady, I've been pastoring a long time. You ain't looking at it right. I said, them people might look like everything all right, but there's one over there about ready to separate. There's another one over there, their kid just got arrested for getting in trouble. There's another one over there, they fought all the way to church. Them people got the same problems. I said, look out here at the flea market, all these perfect couples. I said, yeah, come to our church, you don't see a bunch of perfect people. And I said, you know, and you know what? A lot of people get the idea that Christians are we're all perfect and we don't have no problem. No wonder they serve God. Yeah. But I'm going to tell you something, brother. When they see us go through troubles and burdens and trials, and I said, the Lord loves you, ma'am. And she said, you know, you're right. You're right. And she had all these pictures of Elvis and Marilyn Monroe and everybody selling them there. And I said, well, listen, you know, the Lord loves you and He wants to help you and He wants to work in your life. And I told her I was going to be praying for her and left her there. But I'm going to tell you what she didn't understand. She didn't understand that life's tough for everybody. We all go through burdens. We all go through hard times. Don't feel sorry for yourself. Get back up. Get in the ministry. Do something for God. A just man falls 7 times, but he'll get back up again. We playing ball with Coach Tim over here and some of the other guys. You know, we play ball in the wintertime, basketball. It's a lot of fun. And we was doing real good first of the season. They said, Brother Danny, you going to brag on our team? Because it was like 4-0 or something like that. I wish I should have went ahead and bragged on us while I had the chance. Because, man, we hit the good teams this past week. It wasn't a bit of fun. I wanted to take the ball and push it in somebody's face. And that was nice compared to what they was thinking. You know why? We was getting the fool beat out of us. It's embarrassing. And it's not fun. But you know what I kept telling myself? I kept telling myself, next week's coming. And we got this week, we got 2 teams more on our level, and buddy, we're coming back for vengeance this week. But I'm going to tell you what, nobody likes to get knocked down. Nobody likes to get beat. Sometimes the devil gets you down and just stunk. That ain't fun. It's not fun when you get beat 80 to 30 something. I don't know who did that, but that wouldn't be fun. I'm telling you, that's awful. 82 to 30 or something like that. 30 something like that. Well, that's ridiculous. And I'm telling you, it's not a bit of fun. You ever felt like the devil just gets you down and just beats you and beats you and beats you and beats you? Well, I'm going to tell you something right now, bless your heart. The devil may get a child of God down. There's something inside us, hallelujah, that'll jump back up and say, bless God, I'm ready to fight again the next day. We're not going to stay down. Not going to stay down. Amen. Amen. Well, we might get beat today, but bless the Lord, we'll be back up tomorrow. You read the Bible. You ever felt like quitting? That's what Mark did. Peter, he cursed and denied that he even knew the Lord. Can you imagine that? How many of you would go sitting to listen to a man preach that a month ago was out in public cussing and saying he didn't even know who Jesus was? I wouldn't want to go hear him preach, would you? You want to go hear him preach? Lord, no! He's out there cussing from a big crowd. Said he didn't know. The Holy Ghost came on that old boy. He got back up and preached a sermon, one of the greatest sermons. Had 3,000 people saved. And God used him. You know why? He got back up! Amen! I don't care what you've done this week. I don't care how bad you fail. What I want to know tonight is you need to get up here and get back up and get back in the fight for the glory of God. Jonah. God said go preach. He run that way. He failed. He messed up big time. You know why God put all these stories in the Bible about these men who messed up? So you could relate to them. I got my doubts about these people that give you this impression they never have done anything wrong. People like that make me nervous. There's something wrong, brother. They're hiding it somewhere. That book said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned. And brother, I tell you, you might have it here tonight. Nobody might not even know where you fell. But I'm telling you, get back up. Confess it to God. Get it right and get back in there. You know what old Moses did? He was terrible. I mean, he committed murder and everything else. Aaron, in the Bible, led a rebellion. David, one of the greatest men in the Bible, committed adultery, had a man killed, and stole the man's wife, and raised a family. And yet David got back up. He repented. He got his life right. Hallelujah. God blessed him. He sat on the throne until he died an old man. You better thank God that's in the Bible. Instead of you sitting there saying, well, I don't think that's fair, you better shut up, because God put that in the Bible. It might be your turn to go through that one of these days. Job was full of pride, but God helped him get up. Miriam was critical of the woman Moses married, when Moses married the Ethiopian, and she said something bad, real critical about it. God gave her leprosy, but she got right, she got healed, and God helped her. Solomon had the problem with lust when he married those strange women that didn't know God, but he made it through and God blessed him. Paul and Barnabas had a falling out, and they wouldn't even speak to each other, and they split up in their ministry for a while, but they got back right and made things right. Thomas doubted and said, I won't even believe till I see the nail print in his hand, and then fell and said, my Lord, my God, and got back in there for God. Rahab, the harlot, after she had lived a wicked life, held a string out there and was saved by the grace of God. Noah got drunk. The greatest man in the Bible at that time got drunk. Now he said, oh boy, well, I'm going to go get drunk. No. None of this is an excuse for you to sin. It's to keep you from making the same mistakes they did. Every one of these people paid for their sin. Noah got drunk. And son, he paid dearly for it. I'll tell you what he done. He got back up. Amen. He got back up. Hallelujah. Noah, he fell, but he got back up. Jeremiah decided to quit. Sarah laughed at what God said. Ladies, she laughed at the word of God. And yet she got right and birthed a child into the world. Abraham lied about his sister, or his wife. Remember he told Aaron that king wanted his wife, and he said, oh man, that's a pretty woman you got there with you. I believe I'll take her. Who is that? And he said, it is my sister. Boy, talk about standing up for your wife. Pretty sorry, ain't it? And he took her into his house, and the Lord was getting ready to kill that old boy. And he was a heathen, didn't even know God. He said, you better leave her alone. That's a man's wife. And he said, why'd you lie? And they both conspired to lie. Abraham. You know who the Bible calls Abraham? The friend of God. He was God's friend. Abraham was a friend of God, brother. And he lied about it. That don't make it right. Abraham had a lapse of faith. But thank God he got back up. He went to offer his son, his only son, for a sacrifice to God. And most people would never do that. You read about some of these people in the Bible and you think, Lord, have mercy. That's supposed to make me and you feel like if they can make it, I can make it. Amen. Elijah lost his faith. Let me tell you about some people crippled in history. Shakespeare, Sir Walter Scott, Franklin D. Roosevelt. Beethoven was deaf. How can you compose music deaf? Deaf, brother. Milton was blind when he wrote Paradise Lost. I heard about this boy who loved to ride bikes. He wanted to compete. He'd ride all, and he lost both legs in an accident. And made him a special bicycle with the seat way down so he could reach the pedal with one hand. And he pedaled with one hand and drove with the other hand. And rode that thing forever doing like this. Now, I mean, that boy rode. I heard about a young man who was a swimmer and wanted to compete in swimming. And he swam a mile, swam another mile, something like that. And he had all kinds of records swimming. And he had no legs.
You know what our problem is? Least little thing goes wrong, we're ready to quit. Amen? Least little thing. I'm telling you, we need to be made out of the stuff that says God put me in. God put me in the church. God put me in His body. I will not quit. I'll go down fighting, but I ain't quitting. Say amen, people. Get quit out of your vocabulary. Get quit out of your thinking. Get quit out of your mind. Put that stuff out of your head. Make up your mind. By the grace of God, I might get the snot beat out of me, but I ain't quitting. Say amen right there. Don't be chicken, y'all. Don't be chicken. Don't be scared. You say, well, we might get killed. That's right, we might. But I'd rather fail in something that's eventually going to win than win in something that will eventually lose in the end. And what we're doing, we're going to win in the end. I'll say a couple more things and I'm through. I always think about Miss May. Sue knows Miss May down in Statesville. She's a lady who I met 15, 20 years ago, and she had had a stroke. She had a stroke, and it cocked her head, you know, and messed her face up, paralyzed her. She had not spoke a word in like 10 years. She had not eaten one bite of food in 10 years. Had feed her through a tube. And she'd never missed one service and sat right there in church, and she'd sit there like that right there and watch you preach the whole time you'd preach, and went on visitation every week with the pastor's wife. Couldn't even talk. But she'd go every Tuesday night out visiting. And you got an excuse, right? Y'all got an excuse why you can't never go visiting. You always got some excuse, and your health is a bear. And Miss May, she said, well, she couldn't talk. She'd sit over and pray like that while the pastor's wife would drive, and when she'd come to our house, she felt like the Lord wanted, she'd point to that house like that right there. And they'd go in there and witness them people. You know what she was? She made out of the right stuff. I'm going to tell you people here something tonight. Listen, you ain't never looked at nobody no more serious about serving God than you're looking at right now. I may not be perfect. I'm a long way from it. But bless your heart, I mean business in what I'm doing here tonight. I mean this. I mean it. And my intention is to do this till God calls me out of here. And I don't know what others may do, what other course others may take. We're going to stay with God and stay with His Word and His Word. Say amen, y'all. Lord have mercy, it bothers me. Y'all don't say an amen. You'd fuss at me if I do something you don't like. I'm going to fuss at you. Y'all sit there like you're about to die when you ought to say amen to the truth once in a while. You're quiet natured. Who gives a hoot, brother? Say it anyway. I want some quiet natured amens. That's better than a blessed, horror house. You know what the test of your character is? The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. God don't measure a man's success by how far he gets. God measures a man's success by the obstacles he overcomes in getting there, wherever how far he gets. Amen! That puts us all on level ground. The test of your character is what it takes to stop you. Get up, teenager. I know you probably messed up this week, but get back up and get in there for God. Quit messing around. You don't have to wait a youth rally to get right with God. Good night. Quit your sinning. Quit your sinning. Stop whatever you're doing that's wrong. Let you say, well, Brother Danny, I've quit listening to rock music and I've quit so many times and I go right back. Well, quit again. We got beat this week, but we're going back this week. We're glutton for punishment, ain't we? We got beat this week. And I hate it. You say, I thought you were just playing for fun. No. Who thought that stupid thing up? That's what you just say to sound Christian. We ain't playing for fun. We're playing to win. What idiot plays for fun? I've heard people say, well, it shouldn't matter if you win or not. Well, you're crazy. There's something wrong with you. If it don't matter to you if you win or not, son, I wonder if you're really a man.
None of that was in the message. Get up, mama. You say, my kids have broke my heart. What am I going to do? Get back up and try to be a parent. Amen. Get up and try it again. Fast and pray for those kids. You fast and pray and get a hold of God. And I guarantee you God will get a hold of them kids. Somehow, some way, someplace God Almighty will touch your kids. You say, Brother Danny, my marriage is just about shot. Get back up. If the score is 7-7, you're all right. If the score is 4-5, you're in trouble. No, you're all right. You fall 4 times, you get up 5 times. If the score is 5-4, you're in bad shape. All of us have seen people. They fall, they get up. They fall, they get up. They fall, and they stay down. A just man riseth up again. That's the way you know he's a just man. You can't judge somebody by their failures. You judge somebody by the way they pop up and that they will not quit. That's the way you know somebody's heart. All these people that I read to you about a while ago, you don't judge them by that incident in their life where they really done wrong. They wound up in Hebrews chapter 11 in the hall of fame. And they're in heaven right now waiting on the rest of us. Amen. That ought to make you happy tonight. That ought to make you think, glory to God, there's hope for me. There's hope for us. There's hope for Shining Light Baptist Church. Get up and get back in there for the glory of God. I'm through tonight. Never forget. I'll never forget. I read about them missionaries, and I think everybody in here ought to read about them. David Livingston. You know David Livingston? He was a missionary to South Africa. A long time ago. And that was back in them days when you couldn't just run home every 6 months. He went, his wife was in England, Glasgow, I think, England. And he didn't get to see her for 3 years. His wife. Didn't see his wife for 3 years, fellas, girls. And she stayed faithful and waited on him. And he stayed faithful. And when he finally saw her, she said, honey, I can't even tell you the bad news for the joy that I have of seeing your face. That was her reaction. Not, I'm going to leave you. You're gone too much. I'm going to divorce you. You're not good to me. No, I'm telling you, brother, they stuck it out. And he done what God called him to do. And they said he saw a lion come out of a thicket in Africa and eat a native. And it got one got him and tore his arm almost out of his socket, almost tore his arm off. He couldn't even shoot his gun no more. He had to learn how to shoot his gun left-handed like that because he couldn't move, just pull the trigger like that. And he stayed right there in Africa. And his heart was there so much that when he died, they cut his heart out and buried it in Africa and put his body on a boat and shipped it back to Glasgow. That's the kind of Christians we need in this generation. Yes, somebody that will say, I'm in this thing and I'm not giving up. I may not be the best Christian in the world and I've failed God a million times, but I am not going to quit. I am not going to give up and staying in there till the Lord calls me home. You say, I've had some hard time, preacher. I have too. But you know, if you really think about it, our blessings has far outweighed our battles. And God's been good to all of us, hasn't He? You know what I'd like for us to do tonight while they come? I'd like for everybody in here tonight to rededicate your life to the Lord. You say, well, Brother Danny, I've done it 100 times. I have too. And I'm going to do it again tonight. You know why? The devil's listening to what I'm saying tonight and he's up there saying, all right, keep running your mouth, little boy. Ain't no telling what he's got waiting on me tomorrow. He hates my guts, the devil does, because of stuff like this. And I know I'll have to face it, and I'll get a chance to live what I preach. But I want to say, by God's grace, not by my own strength, by God's grace, I want to be what the Lord wants me to be. Do you? Let's stand by our heads for prayer. Heavenly Father,